Guten Tag, lieben Klausen Globen.
I do have something to say. Welcome back to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Barbecue Bob and I are going to cover some equipment now. There's always new gadgets, grills, and the like on the market. And Barbecue Bob did a little research this week. What'd you come up with, brother?
Well, I got excited about doing outdoor fryers because I have that Timber Ridge that I used to pimp along with Jeff Foxworthy. And I haven't used it much in the last couple of years just because there's so much stuff on my deck. It's like I have to dig grills out of the way and get it out. So I finally moved it over to its own little special place. And now it's out of the way, so I can just pull the cover off, fire it up, pour the oil in, boom. So I'm now going to leave the oil in for all fall because that we're living in the basement, right?
Yes.
Like, you can buy anything and throw it in there, and you can have dinner in minutes.
Right.
Maybe not so healthy, but, oh, man. I did French fries last night in it. We had a bunch of people over. Our little friend Christina from Spain, España.
Oh, yeah.
She's going
Libby's
home.
Libby's friend, right.
Yep, she's going home. And she wanted to get some barbecue for me before she went home. So I sent her and Livy to the store to get some steaks and chicken and stuff. And she's a meat eater.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, they all love fries. So I fired up my Timber Ridge and put a bunch of fries in, frozen, of course. I don't bother cutting them. And they're way better than the fresh ones for some weird reason. I pulled them out, and I kept them in the strainer. And I let them drain for a minute, and then I hit them with a bunch of coarse sea salt and freshly flaked Parmesan. Oh, my gosh. That is crazy good. A little garlic salt's a good substitute with a powderized Parmesan, too. That actually sticks a little better, but I couldn't find the powdered stuff, so I used a real.
So stepping back a little bit, this Timber Ridge is an outdoor deep fryer.
Yeah, it's a console that has wheels on it. And so it's a basket. It's got the burner. It's got a strainer. It's got a filter. So when you want to take your oil out, you just put your jugs underneath this hose and you turn the filter on and it just screens all the junk out of it. I mean, 95% of any solids are gone.
Right.
Clean enough that you can restore the oil and it's just fine.
Yep.
So online, I thought it was so cool. I thought, well, let's see who's still making those because Timber Ridge doesn't anymore. And a company called R&V Works Outdoor makes one, and it's a knockoff. It looks just like it. They might have bought the molds for it, but it's called the Cajun Deep Fryer with Stand. It's $399 online. Bayou Classics has a 9-gallon fryer. Yeah, three baskets. It's the big triple that Timber Ridge used to do, but Bayou Classics knocked that off in stainless, probably over in China, and it's $379 in stainless. I'm sure it's a really light grade, crappy stainless for $379.
But it's available. So these things, how much oil does it take to put in one of these things to get it going so you can cook in it? The one you have,
I think mine takes like 3 gallons, 4 gallons.
Okay, so you're using what, peanut oil?
Yep.
Okay.
And it's a good thing because the second load I put in had a bunch of ice on it. These fries have been in my freezer for a while.
Yeah.
So that they
crystallized.
They
a little
did.
Bit. Yep.
And when I poured it in. That oil came, and it was too big a load of fries. That oil came bubbling right over the top, which is why I have this big pan under it.
Right, we had that. You had
and
that
it's,
made.
And it's, and it's in the dirt anyway. I have it behind the garage. I don't know if you saw it or not, but it's in a great spot for any oil. Can't hurt a thing. I threw some sawdust on it because I got lots of that right now.
Yeah, and it sounds like maybe lots of oil on the ground. But so there's a fundamental right there that's worth a 10-second rabbit trail, and that is measure the displacement of what you're putting in your oil before you fill your deep fryer with oil. Kind of like we do this at Thanksgiving when you deep fry a turkey, set it in there and fill it in water and then figure out how much you need.
With this, it's easy because it has a line. What made it froth so much was all that extra crystal in there, that ice, because it creates a little hydrogen
oil and water.
Bomb.
Yeah.
So, so it got me there. But the other thing that you would like is an outdoor bar, and you build them for people. But when I was in Montana helping my buddy set up his store out there recently, he showed me a bar he built. He bought a kit from Home Depot for like $75 for an outdoor bar. Well, I took a look at it, and it was pretty, well, let's just say you could build it for $10 if you just went to the lumberyard. Okay, $20.
Yeah.
And you could make it better. So it's basically just basic 2x4 framing and 2x4 framing on the top. This hinges the side so you can fold it up and put it away, which I guess is smart for the winter. But what he did then,
if you want to quit drinking.
Yeah. Sure. Forget it. So what he did was he put some corrugated on it.
Metal?
He took that $75 bar and made it look like a $400 bar with a little corrugated steel.
Right.
And so I just think that's a really nice way to do it. So instead of buying the kit, you could get a couple planks of synthetic decking for your top.
Mm-hmm.
Because you want a top that'll hold the weather. And then just use maybe womanized for your framing. Put that corrugated around it, any configuration you want. And I'll bet you for $200, you could build one heck of a nice outdoor bar. If you were smart, you'd run those posts up, and you could put corrugated. You could make a little shed roof over it, too, so you actually had a shaded area.
Yeah, and run a little electricity to it and put a light out there. And
Bunkhouse.
Yeah, I mean, these are the it's funny that
side
you,
by side.
Yeah, it's funny that you say this because the most recent outdoor kitchen that we finished, the back of the grill island, I made an L-shape where I had a smoker on one side, the grill on the other, and an L-shaped cooking area separate from the bar, and we put that corrugated metal on the back of that and trimmed it out with barnwood, actually, and then it sealed the barnwood. But barnwood's barnwood, right?
Right.
It's been outside its whole life.
Right.
So we trimmed it out in barnwood with that. It was just a really cool look, that corrugated metal with the barnwood trimmed all out.
How'd you cut that corrugated?
Actually, we bought it cut, but with you got to be careful with it because tin snips will bend it.
Yes.
And the guys did a little fabrication with it with a Sawzall. Because they had to cut some electrical outlets.
Well, that was my point. If you like doing stuff like this, I'm putting some of that on my over my bay windows, and I'm building some cool little shed roofs I'll show you over the garage doors and stuff. And I'm really a fan of that. And years ago, I was involved in the HVAC business, so I've still got friends in it. And I know they have these little electric devices called nibblers.
Yep.
And they work beautifully. Well, I found online this morning and ordered, or actually it was last night, a little device that goes on your drill. It's $39. It was advertised on Facebook, actually. And it hooks on your drill, and it's a little nibbler. And you ought to see that thing cut metal. I'm going to try it out. I ordered one.
Yep.
But if you're going to do one of these outdoor bars or grill areas and you want to do it in corrugated, you don't have to pay for custom cutting or anything like that. For $39, you'll always be able to buzz up some metal. And if you're a guy that works in your garage and has little projects, cutting sheet metal can be really
It's sharp. It's awkward. It dents.
Yeah.
You got to know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
so the pros use nibblers. So here's a cheap one for your drill. I thought it was kind of cool.
Yeah, it is.
Anyway.
So anyway, we've got a couple outdoor fryers there. Now, when you're using this thing, Bob, typical up to that 350, get that oil ready for
right where you want to be.
Anywhere, anything you want to put in there.
Yeah.
Right?
Now, you had brought up something else you found online that you wanted to mention, and I said, well, we'll do it in the fifth segment. But we were talking about, you know, you had something you wanted to bring up. I think it was choosing the right kind of grill and how to do that. Tell us what to do.
Yeah, you know, when we work with people and they want an outdoor kitchen, there's a series of questions that I ask them before I kind of make a recommendation, right? First is, how many people do you cook for? That's a fundamental question, right? And then what kind of food do you want to cook? Ran into a guy last week that we're starting to work with that he likes big quantity, man. He said, I want to be able to do 20 racks of ribs. Well, that's a completely different kind of equipment than a guy that's in his backyard that wants to do two or three for his family. You know, important that we know that. And what do you like to cook? Are you a carnivore? Do you do vegetables? What? Because I got to set this thing up
tofu?
The right way. Right, could be. You know what? You've eaten grilled tofu and liked it, so get off that, brother. You know, and how often do you use this thing? Is because if you're using it two or three times a week, I'm taking you a higher quality unit than if you're using one
that's once every couple weeks. That's a big factor right there.
Because every penny you spend is worth it.
Yeah, if you're going to get out there once a month, just go to the big box and buy that Chi-Com stuff.
Yeah, and are you going to put it somewhere when you're not using it, or is it going to stay there where it's at? So do we need some sign of protection over it, or do we need to hardwire the gas or the fuel that we bring to it? And then, you know, if you store it for the off season, where are you going to store it? Because it might impact the size of the unit that I get with what you got to store. But anyway, those are just some real common questions that we go through. And based on those answers, it'll take us in a direction. Speaking of high quality grills, we have the highest quality grill guy by the name of Russ Falk, which is their chief barbecue expert for the Kalamazoo Grill Company. He's on the line with us, Nick, so stick with us. We'll be back.